The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
He does, and it's a Sox lead. It's a Sox lead by two.
Jose Urquidy, brilliant for 7 2/3, allows a runner. And then Dusty Baker makes a pitching change that was uglier than my voice. I'm Vanessa Richardson.
Good God.
Paul Gallant is
what happened?
I tested negative for COVID, so I'm not unsafe. I just sound like crap. I should add, I slept 12 hours. I slept from 7:30 to 7:30. So I rested my voice. It's not like I was irresponsible.
Maybe you needed to sleep less.
Yeah, that could be it.
Too much resting of the vocal cords.
Going to be a lot of coughing, possibly some phlegm. Bear with
me. Well, just point it in the other direction.
I will.
Appreciate
that. Got the Lysol with me.
Although you will build up my immunity, technically. And, you know, as an alpha, I do like to make sure that I'm as immune as possible.
As an alpha?
Yeah.
What's an alpha?
Just, you know, just a dominant athlete.
Just an absolutely
with superior dominant genetics, you know?
The Astros are a superior team, but last year they did lose 4-2 thanks to what you just heard. Questionable decisions by Dusty Baker, to say the least. It had the internet going nuts. Here's Dusty Baker, who was frustrated with himself on things escalating.
Sometimes not your night, and that unraveled like very, very quickly. And it was tough to take. It's tough. But, you know, and Urquidy pitched great. You know, I mean, that was the furthest he had gone. And, man, you know, you hate to have him a wasted night like that, but he can take that night until his next start. And, boy, he was outstanding.
Is it Dusty Baker's fault that things unraveled quickly, as he said at the beginning of that clip?
It's not as much his fault as people are saying.
Oh.
There is still another pitcher named Montero who allowed things to happen. Now, look, I would have loved for him to keep Urquidy in. Urquidy was pitching really well. And Urquidy made it, you know, we'll hear from him throughout the show as well, because he spoke after him and his translator about how he wasn't happy to be pulled, but he trusts Dusty. So Dusty did say, and we don't have this soundbite, but he says, "It was tough to take. You can put it on me." I do credit Dusty for taking that blame.
It doesn't seem like he's done that a lot in the past either. So I think for some people that have been growing more and more frustrated with small decisions by Dusty Baker adding up, this is the, can you
this
believe it?
This is the Jeremy Branham night. Is this the official Jeremy Branham night?
What was his Twitter last night?
Oh.
I stayed away from it. I'm assuming that he was calling for blood. Did he pull out the pitchforks? Did he pull out
pitchforks?
The tiki torches?
Let's see what you did there.
Kill the beast. Was he, you know, like Gaston and the gang back in Beauty and the Beast?
Jeremy Branham, who of course you can hear from 12 to 3, celebrating his 1-year anniversary today. He and Joel Blank, shout out to them, as well as our friends at the Wheelhouse. Jeremy Branham has been very vocal about the fact that he does not agree with Dusty Baker's managerial decisions. So last night, I think, was vindicating for him. And a lot of the folks who say that Dusty Baker is, whatever, old school, is still having issues with, managerial decisions. But yeah, the Astros end up losing one that seemed like it would be winnable. We do have some sound from Jose Urquidy, who was frustrated after the loss, but said that he trusts in DB.
Jose, do you feel you could have got that last out there in the seventh inning?
Yes, I was. I was ready for that, but, you know, I'm sorry. This is a decision of the manager, and I respect that.
I
politically correct answer.
Understand the frustration that Urquidy might have had and any fans might have had out there. Before we go all in on the guy who's really the reason that they lost last night, Baker gets criticized for being an old school guy a lot. The old school guy leaves Urquidy in. Because what? There was two lineouts and a dribbler that was an infield single, which is why you even had a runner on when they pulled Urquidy. It was one runner on and two outs. If we're talking real old school baseball manager here, the old school baseball manager leaves Urquidy in the game. But as highlighted by our guy, late hits, Patrick Creighton, fourth time through the order for Urquidy, and he was at his normal pitch range. I understand the logic behind pulling him out. The result is obviously a disaster, and that's my issue, Vanessa. I was in Seattle last year. I was in Seattle for 2 years. Rafael Montero gives me Ken Giles flashbacks. The guy terrifies me, and I get it. He's been good this year. The statistics are something else. And bullpen guys, it's difficult to predict what they're going to bring to the table from a year-to-year basis. That's why it's always very, I think, tricky when you give a reliever a long-term contract. But Montero always makes me nervous. And he did not get, what, an out last night? And you could argue that maybe that was because they had been using Montero so much over the nights. So have they used someone other than Rafael Montero here? That's my issue. I feel like with the amount of games that Montero has pitched of late, sure, maybe you want to manage Ryan Pressly's innings, as Baker indicated when asked about it. You want him to be as fresh as possible for the playoffs, but I mean, there was a stretch earlier this month where you went like a week without using him.
Montero gave up runs on Sunday. So Montero hasn't been at his best lately in general.
Right.
So I think it seemed predictable to some people. I like what you said about the fact that Dusty went against the old school mindset, because I do feel like Dusty Baker, and I'm not just saying this because I like him and because I do part-time stuff with the Astros, I do feel like he catches flack, and it's kind of a damned if he does or damned if he doesn't. Like in this case, okay, you're going by the numbers. You're going by the analytics. You're doing what the proverbial baseball nerds want you to do, and it doesn't work out, and he catches flack for that. But then when he goes old school, people call him Tony La Russa and all of that. So it's like, what do you want from Dusty Baker? This is a great Astros team. There are going to be games like this. And hello, it's the White Sox. Sorry, it doesn't matter. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't care. I literally don't care that they lost in Chicago. Everybody is mean to Dusty Baker. And look, he can take it. He's a grown man. But he catches so much flack for, in this case, doing what the nerds want him to do.
If you had more of a voice, would you have just sounded like Leave Britney Alone guy?
Leave Britney Alone. That wasn't cute.
That sounded so sad.
That wasn't cute.
It sounded so depressed, like a poor like street cat begging for milk on the sidewalk in Istanbul.
It did. Okay, so this is me. This is quote, hashtag improv. Do we have time for a Yankees watch? Because the Yankees...
We could do an impromptu Yankees
watch.
Or
we could wait until a couple segments, because the Yankees record and the fact that they've pooped the bed the last couple of days.
The mud butt, yeah.
And mud butt, as you so eloquently said.
Listen, you get it.
Is one of the reasons I don't care about last night.
I get that.
Am I underreacting?
No, I don't think so. Look, here's the thing with the White Sox, too. I mean, that's a team that made the playoffs last year. So, I mean, I would like a little more run support. And as highlighted in the Twitch, like the thing that I took most issue with, too, before the game, Jeremy Pena is a late scratch with a neck injury. Okay, change the lineup. Like, don't just say, oh, yeah, well, we're going to lead off with Mauricio Dubon. No offense to Mauricio Dubon. That guy should never be leading off, ever. Five at-bats for Mauricio Dubon.
So you think
Dubon.
It's more than just one managerial decision from last night?
I think that putting in Montero and instead of anybody else and the random decision to have Dubon leading off, those decisions I feel like are worthy of criticism. I don't think pulling Urquidy is the end of the world in this spot. It's the regular season, and I think what you highlighted a little bit earlier, yeah, you kind of are damned if you do, damned if you don't in this spot as a manager. And I think that some of the reaction that we've seen specifically last night to that specific moment, not the other two,
sure,
I think that was just boiling up over the last couple of games, specifically going back to Mancini Gate. and his lack of usage in the starting lineup on a regular basis.
I mean, I will say it's collective. It's leaving Mancini out of the lineup. It's what was going on with Michael Brantley, which, again, we don't think is Dusty Baker's fault that, you know, the Astros are so hush-hush about injuries, but some of those decisions that are made in general, for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely a click thing. That's definitely a front office thing that is not Dusty Baker. I would imagine that Dusty probably would like to be transparent because it's easier, right? It's always easy to tell the truth as opposed to, like, what he's like, yeah, we're not sure about Michael Brantley's
shoulder. We've all lied and
all
had it.
Yeah.
Had to make up ground afterwards.
Yeah.
We got a tweet from Not Santa. Maybe one day you will make it 365 days without getting fired like the Killer Bees and the Wheelhouse.
Ooh. I've gotten 2 years once.
I've never been fired, so maybe this will be the first time.
No. Listen, there's been a lot of promotion for, you know, the Killer Bees 1 year birthday and the Wheelhouse 1 year birthday. But I mean, it's our 6 month anniversary.
Wait, is it really?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Where's my gift?
You're full of it.
I'm not.
It is not our 6 month anniversary.
February 14th.
And today is not the 14th.
Today's August 16th.
August 16th.
Well, it was on Sunday, but like, you know, we were.
Wait, is August 6 months from February?
It is, yeah.
Really?
You forgot our anniversary.
You sound like a middle school girl.
Unbelievable. You don't trust me, and you forgot about our six-month anniversary. It's really funny when people highlight the six-month anniversary,
too,
isn't it?
You know what? Here's the thing. I understand when middle school girls do it. But when grown people do it, it's one of the things that unattracts me to men is that and then trying to sit at the same side of the booth. Don't try to sit at the same side of the booth as me.
Wait, why not?
It's weird.
Are we talking about at, like, what if there's really good people watching at the booth at a...
Okay, well, then after the meal, you can join me on the other side of the booth.
Okay.
But during the meal, I want to see you and talk to you and evaluate your body language.
Evaluate the body language, okay.
6 months is not a long time. 2 years is a long time. 2 years is how long Brock Heward backed up Peyton Manning, and we are so excited to have Brock on after the break.
Her voice is dead. The transition's on.
They're alive. Coming up, Brock joins us on Vanessa and Gallant. First, Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN. Go there right now. Put a little money down. Guess what? You get to double it up to $2,500. And honestly, you probably want to get in on this as quick as you possibly can because, you know, when we first started doing these live reads, Vanessa, did you know that the odds for the Astros to win the World Series was plus 400? It's now plus 320 at BUSR.com/ESPN. Come on, eventually it's just going to be like, yeah, they're the odds on favorite. You're going to have to bet more money to actually get money on them winning the World Series. So go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now and start placing your bets, whether it's sports betting. You could do all sorts of prop bets. Football season's right around the corner. I mean, why not take BUSR.com/ESPN out for a whirl. Be a real degenerate. Bet on the preseason. You'll probably not win. Guess what? It's fun anyway. Do it. You can also, on top of that, bet on horse racing. You can play roulette, blackjack. It's an online casino. BUSR.com/ESPN to double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up to $2,500. Just again, BUSR.com/ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are so happy to be joined now by former NFL quarterback, current college football analyst and radio host. He backed up the greatest quarterback ever for 2 years in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning.
It's Tom Brady.
Brock Heward joins the show. Brock, I'm an Indiana girl, so I had to put that in there. It's a little bit of beef between Paul and I. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Vanessa. Nice to join you and Paul this morning. This football is real football is coming right around the corner.
Yes, it is. And we're, Brock, excited to see what Davis Mills is going to do in his second year as someone who's played the position. Generally, what's the biggest challenge going from that first year to the second? I know the good news for Davis Mills is that there's a bit of continuity, seeing as Pep Hamilton's still in the fold. But for Davis Mills, what's going to be the biggest challenge in this second year now?
Yeah, Paul, I think the biggest challenge is now the league knows you. like everybody in baseball, and you obviously have the wonderful Astros down there in Houston, and everybody in baseball loves to talk about baseball being a game of adjustments. Well, this is a game of adjustments, and they learn what you can do, and they learn your heat zones, and they learn, you know, the holes in your swing, and then they take advantage of it, and you got to make an adjustment back. Well, that's football, and that's basically like every play of football. There's adjustments being made at the line of scrimmage. There's adjustments in line calls. There's adjustments. That's why they look at the pictures after every series, and they huddle together and try to figure out, okay, what is the defense doing? How are they playing this personnel group? How are they playing this formation? What adjustment do we need to make? And then ultimately, you know, these teams got to take a look at Davis and see a season ago what he did well, where he was comfortable, and now there's a little bit more tape on him. Now, that usually means in year number two, a little more pressure, a little bit more unique, exotic looks defensively. It usually means people are going to throw more at him and see how he can process it. When you have a rookie quarterback, and I remember in particular the Seahawks playing the Texans down there last year, and they just played pretty vanilla. They played pretty basic and wanted to see what this kid was all about. And then ultimately maybe heated it up a little bit more in the second half. I think that that would probably be the one biggest thing, Paul, is you're going to get a little bit more from the teams you play against because they got a little bit more to study of you all offseason long.
For those who aren't familiar, when Brock and I were doing radio in Seattle, Brock is a guy that, you know, can appreciate like a different physique. And I was curious, Brock, as to if you think that maybe a longer neck for Davis Mills could give him more of an advantage. Ooh.
Yeah, I am a body image guy. There's no question for better or worse. I was looking at some pictures of myself last week in Lake Chelan and said I am not close to TV worthy. So it's been eliminating the sugars and bad carbs and all of that, and will be for the next week and a half to get ready for the college football season. So yeah, I'm a little body image guy. I will say this, Paul and Vanessa. I got a chance to see a couple years ago. I had Northwestern and Stanford. Here's a little deflection, by the way. I'm not talking about Davis Mills' neck. I'm going to deflect to the first time I watched him on a practice field. We had Northwestern, Stanford in the season opener in 2019, and Stanford had a returning starter by the name of KJ Costello, USFL star, and now I think just signed on an NFL roster. But KJ was really beat up and coming off injury and everything else, but he was a starter. And then I'm looking at this, his backup, like, man, who is this guy? Who is this robot over there that just does not miss a throw? And every ball is just a tight spiral. And David Shaw's like, oh, yeah, that's my five-star out of Georgia, super talented kid. He's going to be really good. And he, too, had to play behind the battle line, and he, too, got beat up a little bit in college. But he's a guy from day one that jumped out to me. Speaking of his body and his arm and just his ability, is a guy that could really spin the football, and he's continued to do so over the course of his career.
Former NFL quarterback Brock Huard joins us now. Brock, you'll have to excuse my voice. After a weekend in Vegas, it is like completely gone. I don't usually sound this awful. Let's talk a little bit about AFC South quarterbacks in general, because what we say about the Texans is, look, I mean, they may be the team that, other than the Jags, you know, it's like them and the Jags that are possibly the quote-unquote worst in the AFC South. But if they got a little bit better, that's a division they could actually win. What do you expect from AFC South quarterbacks this season? Paul and I both think Ryan Tannehill might be going downhill. We really don't know what to expect from Matty Ice. And then there's this, like, will Trevor Lawrence break out or won't he?
Yeah, there's certainly much more uncertainty in the AFC South than there is the AFC West, than there is the NFC West. There's even in the AFC East out there with some young, talented guns. So if there is a division where you can make a little bit of noise or find a way to win a few division games that people didn't see coming, it is probably the NFC South and the AFC South in that regard. Everything we just talked about with Davis Mills, year one to year two, we can have that same conversation about Trevor Lawrence. The difference being, I think it was a super unhealthy environment in Jacksonville. I think, unfortunately, what Urban Meyer created there was a disastrous situation and no culture and no team build and no unity. And you bring in, I think, the perfect guy. And you heard that in the season opener, in the Hall of Fame game. You heard Chris Collinsworth talking a ton about that, that Doug Peterson is probably just the right guy for Trevor Lawrence at just the right stage of his career to calm things down, to instill him with confidence. I think Trevor is a phenomenally talented player. speaking of athleticism and spinning the football, he can do that. So, yeah, this division has, you know, kind of take your choice, like your Las Vegas casino that you were at this weekend. Which casino do you want to go into? Do you want to go into the old pyramid? Well, there's Matt Ryan. Do you want to, you know, go in upscale? There's number one pick in Trevor Lawrence. I don't know my casinos too well.
No, this is a good analogy, though. I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
And then there's the cheaper version, maybe off the strip with Davis Mills, that the people don't expect as much from. And then Tannehill would kind of be like Mandalay Bay. Like, you want to buy in. It's next to the Four Seasons, but there's been enough kind of damage done that it's still not quite up to par. So, yeah, I think you can play a fun little game after I'm off with compare those four to the casinos, because I'm not real
great content.
I like it, Brock. Brock Heward with us. Brock, you have a lot of familiarity with Pep Hamilton, both in your time covering college football, where Pep Hamilton, you know, was an offensive coordinator and QB coach at Stanford with Andrew Luck. He goes to the Colts. He's a quarterback. He's the offensive coordinator with Andrew Luck. We also saw him back in Michigan. He was with the Chargers and Justin Herbert. I'm really excited that he is going to be the Texans offensive coordinator going into this year. What is it that stands out to you about Pep Hamilton as a coach?
Yeah, Paul, and I did see him a bunch on the college football road. I would also even include an XFL game where I got to see him a couple years ago when he was the head coach of the Washington franchise out there and did some good things. The thing I would say about Pep, every one of these coordinators is like a radio host. They're all a little bit different. They all bring different backgrounds and resumes to it. He would be your radio host that has a plan for every segment. He knows exactly what he wants to do. Will it be the greatest of content? Who knows? What tools does he have to work with and teams to talk about? You know, obviously it's a challenge there in Houston as they're rebuilding and going down that road. But he will have a definitive plan. When you work for Jim Harbaugh, as long as he did at Stanford and then in Michigan, Jim Harbaugh wants answers. He wants black and white, crystal clear, don't live in the gray, don't give me any oddball garbage. You give me, you know, just direct answers to what I'm looking for. And I think because of all of that time spent and that background with Jim, there is no question that Davis will have a plan. They will have answers. Now, do they have enough talent to go execute that? I think that will be the question and certainly a huge challenge this season. But you're not going to walk out of a game going, my gosh, did they even practice? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Did they even have any idea what the opponent was doing or what the plan was? He will have a plan. Now it will be upon him and obviously the players to go out and execute it.
I think he's really refreshing for Texans fans. Brock, where can we see you this fall? Calling games, whatnot. Where can people find you?
I will be, Vanessa, on Fox again this season. Was able to get an extension with them. Super, super
congrats.
Happy about that. I will have a new partner. I lose my buddy Joe Davis, who becomes the number one Fox baseball guy, taking over for Joe Buck and moving over to the NFL. So I will welcome in a great guy named Jason Benetti, the voice of the White Sox on television.
I love Jason.
Yeah, just a terrific dude. Met him at our seminar last week, and he and I will be traversing Big Ten and Big 12 and Pac-12 country, and actually we'll have Northwestern and Nebraska a week from Saturday to kick off the college football season.
That's incredible. Well, Brock, thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate you hopping on.
Thanks, Brock.
Brock,
and
you...
Vanessa, know Paul's got a lot of remedies for your voice. He has remedies for every injury out there. He's got a lot of remedies for it.
A lot of... Brock, thank you so much.
Brock.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Peace.
All right, you'll see him on Fox. You can hear him on the radio, and he's on Twitter at Brock Heward as well. We certainly appreciate his time. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we do have an NFL season starting in 23 days. Our NFL countdown coming up next.
Load and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
23 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. It's so close we can smell it. Paul, who's our number 24?
Well, 23, Arian Foster.
23, because it is 23 instead of 24 days. 23 days.
24
even
was yesterday.
Closer.
24 was yesterday. Vanessa slept for 12 hours.
Yes,
it's
I did.
Not the same day still.
Not the same one.
It's not the same one. Arian Foster, you got to go with number 23. He's one of the best players in Texans history and one of the more interesting people as well to play for this team. But you also got to put Devin Hester, all-time kick returner. And who could forget about D'Angelo Hall, who you might have remembered on the 2015 season of Hard Knocks. When DeAndre Hopkins broke his ankles, and then when Hall got up in his face, Hopkins just kept on saying, "I fear God, boy. I fear God, boy." So there you go. That's number 23, everybody. We're getting so close.
The Texans' Hard Knocks season was fun.
It was a good season.
I enjoyed. That was a good season. We got to actually see like a human side of Bill O'Brien.
We got to see me for 2 seconds. It was great.
Were you on an episode?
Like my face.
Young Paulie.
On a Zoom. Yeah, clean-shaven Paul.
Clean-shaven Paul. I don't know if I could picture that.
It was for the longest time. I never had a beard. And then, 2017 on. This thing is 6 years old.
The Five? Texans, by the way, drafted Damian Pierce in the fourth round of the NFL draft. And fans, really not just of the Texans, but of the NFL in general, said that he really stood out that first preseason game against the Saints. Here's quarterback Davis Mills on Damian Pierce's growth.
I mean, he ran the ball extremely, extremely well tonight. I think what his average was over 9 yards or something per carry. If he can keep doing stuff like that, it's going to open up our offense in a big way. I think the whole running back room is really talented. And, I mean, Damian showed kind of the work they've put in through the offseason and throughout camp.
You know, it was a very diplomatic leader answer right there where you hear, you know, Davis Mills does compliment Damian Pierce on his good play. But then he's like, but we got a good room. We got a lot of other good running backs in there as well. But Pierce has shined from the start of camp. And it's great that we actually got to see a little bit of that juice that he brings to the table in Saturday night's game because, I mean, that's been one of the things that's been lacking from that position for quite some time. They just weren't talented at running back last year, you know? And I like Rex Burkhead as a player, but we're talking about a guy in Rex Burkhead who is no spring chicken for running backs.
He's older.
Right. I mean, running backs, that's a position where guys are generally the youngest. They play the quickest. The star shines brightest, and then it generally fizzles. It burns out. Marlon Mack is kind of going through that. And a nice couple of early years
in the
NFL. And
he's only 26, by the way.
Exactly. That's what it's like to be a running back in the NFL. You're kind of treated as a disposable tire, which is messed up. But Pierce right now, finally a little bit of juice at that position, which honestly has been missing since Arian Foster left.
I believe the Texans were ranked last in that category last year, or next to last, with running back effectiveness. So we'll see if they can improve that this year. I think he definitely gives Texans fans some hope. Would you rather have somebody that plays by the analytics and numbers or somebody that's more aggressive? Brandon Staley says he does not care if people think that he's too aggressive. Quote, we're going to win games on our terms. There has to be a fearlessness to play in this game. And what I wanted to establish was that the history of the team when I got here, it was like someone's going to get hurt. They're going to blow a lead. Something catastrophic is going to happen. There's this charging thing. There's all of these external factors that I know in my life. They're just excuses. They're all just excuses.
It's a smart answer, Vanessa, because it bridges the gap between the hard-o, toxically masculine, if you will, crowd. We're going to lose on our terms with the analytic nerds of Twitter that are always pissed off when a team doesn't go for it on fourth down, regardless of the situation. Shoot, it could be fourth and eight at your own 25. You should go for it because the statistics say to. Staley has come close to adopting a policy like that. Discredit, it did not work out particularly well last year. They made a lot of gambles that didn't work out so well. I want people just to remember Brandon Staley when you think about wanting to have a more aggressive coach. There is such thing as too aggressive. You know, whether it's your five-year-old little brother playing you in Madden or it's the
or
NFL.
Or Paul during a, what is it? What is it that you play?
Flag football. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who holds up his hand as soon as I go out to the sideline to disrespect the defensive back who might line up against me. Now, the problem is I will disrespect the game usually by dropping a pass when I'm wide open downfield, but I do like to, be a little toxically masculine out there.
See, I agree with you that it was a smart answer because when I heard that, I'm thinking, hell yeah, brother.
Yeah.
And then I remember some of the mistakes I made. I'm like, eh.
But we're going to lose on our terms, not on their terms.
Correct. But we're still going to lose. The first full week of preseason football featured 15 illegal contact flags.
Disgusting.
That's per Kevin Seifert.
Disgusting.
Of ESPN. There were only 36 illegal contact penalties all of last season.
This is terrible.
So the results from this round suggest that officials are following that NFL memo that you better beef it up.
Overcompensation. Whether it's a big truck, a tricked out sports car, something else that maybe is implying that you're overcompensating, or this. I don't understand, though, in this situation, Vanessa, what the NFL is overcompensating for. There's so much offense in this league. Why do you want to reinforce something that makes it as easy as possible for these quarterbacks out there? All of these guys can move. They can all extend plays. You can't make contact with a wide receiver because he's 5 yards plus downfield. It's one thing that's different. If the guy escapes the pocket, you actually can rough him up a little bit. But I just hate how they have tied defensive backs' hands behind their back, and now they're going to enforce something that's already been over-enforced. This shouldn't be a rule. You should be able, receiver goes 5 yards downfield, you should be able to lay him out. Period.
I don't think anybody in the NFL wants more rules, regardless of what the rule is in general. There are some games that are borderline unwatchable. Now, are we still going to watch them? Yes, because it's the National Football League.
But
so many flags being thrown, so many things being called that it gets to the point to where it's like, I'm not going to turn it off, but this just isn't fun.
Pace of play is something that basketball lost because of their obsession with replay the last 2 minutes of a game. I think that college football games have gotten too long, and it's not like I don't watch college football because of it. I do like college football a lot, but the NFL adding stuff like this, this is how you get games that are 4 hours, and I feel like you want to be shooting for 3 hours and 10 minutes at the absolute most for an NFL game, because the flow does get ugly towards the end if you have this being called over and over again, and it's just a lame rule. A guy taps you and it's 5 yards and an automatic first down. I hate it.
Pro Football Focus is reporting that Patrick Mahomes' deal with the Chiefs is expected to be, quote, sweetened sooner rather than later, which would put him back or near the top of the quarterback hierarchy. Mahomes, of course, signed what at the time was the largest contract in sports history when he agreed to that 10-year extension, basically $500 million, new money, and it was valid through the end of 2031. But now we have seen what has happened. Kyler Murray, Watson.
It's so
they
funny.
Rank above Mahomes in average salary. So the Chiefs are expected to sweeten it a little bit.
But this is what happens when you sign the long-term deal. Like, the other guys are going to get contracts that are more than yours. What Kansas City is really doing here, too, by putting this out there, is they're going to find ways in years where maybe they need to, you know, free up a little extra cap space to front load the contract a little bit further. I imagine, yes, sweeteners could happen, but it might be just more money up front before a extension of the contract, I don't know, 7 to 8 years into it. By the way, Mahomes, who got rocked in a preseason game, he feels that actually getting hit in a preseason game is good for you.
He thinks that it's good for you?
I think so. He said, it's like toxic masculinity right there. I like it.
They said this on the Pat McAfee show when they had Davis Mills on, because Davis Mills said the same thing. And if you listen to Luck, the podcast by The Athletic and Zach Kiefer, that's one of the things that the Colts hated about Andrew Luck, was that he wanted to be hit.
I love it.
He asked Jacoby Brissett to hit him.
I like it.
And so Pat McAfee and the guy said to Davis Mills, don't get hit on purpose just because you're a quarterback.
But it's fun.
Yeah, maybe it's fun.
It's fun to be
but
violent.
But if you're that worth that much money to any franchise, they're not going to want you to get hit like that.
Mm.
23 days until the NFL season. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing what the Texans can do. I think Brock Huard brought up some really good points about those casinos with the AFC South quarterbacks. It Ooh. Is a little bit unpredictable. Sean, are you a Vegas fan? Have you been to Vegas?
No, I've never been to Vegas.
You've never been to Vegas?
Nope.
So now we're just like rubbing it in.
No, I just wanted to know what his favorite casino was, favorite hotel.
Never been. I've been to casinos in Shreveport, Louisiana.
There you go. What's your favorite casino in Shreveport?
El Dorado.
El Dorado.
Yes. Also name. Horseshoe.
So maybe so the Colts would be like El Dorado.
Well, no. The Horseshoe would be like the Colts.
Oh, the Horseshoe.
There's two different.
There was a Horseshoe at El Dorado.
No, it's
so now
El
I need
Dorado,
to go to Shreveport.
Horseshoe.
Shreveport has two casinos?
They have A bunch.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Indiana has some casinos.
Did not know that.
There's one in Shelbyville. There's about five in Evansville. And they're building one in Terre Haute,
Those
Indiana.
Those aren't real places.
My hometown.
Shelbyville?
Which Shelbyville is
where,
the real
Where the
place.
Hell is that?
Shelbyville is north of Indianapolis. And then Evansville and Terre Haute have casinos.
I only want to go to a casino that's in Gary.
Oh, boy.
For those who know, real ones know, Gary is like the classiest place in Indiana. It's on the
scary
lake.
Scary Gary.
Yeah, Scary Gary. It actually
Hey, it was in its heyday terrifying. When Michael Jackson was born there.
That's where he was born? Didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where a lot of abuse happened in the Jackson household.
There was a lot of a lot of abuse in the Jackson household. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
Hey, we could really go down a rabbit hole on that
Any
one.
Abuse on the PGA Tour?
Chemicals.
Absolutely not. But the PGA is in panic mode. That's coming up.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's time to rally the troops. According to ESPN, Tiger Woods is going to meet with several of the top golfers in the world today to try to convince them not to go to live and quote-unquote rally the troops. A player who was invited to attend the meeting told ESPN it's going to include many of the top 20 players in the world and a handful of others who haven't defected to live.
Would you listen to Tiger Woods?
Good question.
I wouldn't.
Over money? Over how much money?
Over anything. Sorry. What?
So you think these golfers aren't going to listen to Tiger?
I mean, you have respect for him as a golfer. Do you have respect for him in anything that he's done off the course? No offense. I mean, guy's life's a mess. You're telling me what I'm supposed to do with my money? How I should go about earning it? How much money did you lose with all of the dumb stuff that you were doing off the course? With all of the things? Check that. I mean, he had a lot of, let's just say, extracurricular
Correct.
Activities.
Correct. And at put his life in danger with the car crash. Not the most
Which
recent one.
Which no
one
asks
one.
Any questions about,
right.
by the way.
I know. I know.
Thankfully, that happened in Florida for him. Yeah, if he's going here, I think that the PGA thinks this is going to work for them. I'm sorry. Like, who cares what Tiger has to say? You got to come at me with something that's really convincing, and it can't be punitive if you're the PGA. They're going to come at and approach this with vinegar. They should be coming with honey because what they'll ask for is likely like, hey, if you're going to play, are you really okay with being banned from all our events? And they'll ban them from the events.
Right. To me, this says that the PGA is hitting the panic button.
Yeah.
And the issue is that they tried to act cocky about it a few months ago and acted like they would never hit the panic button. You heard what Rory McIlroy said. You heard what certain guys said, where they basically brushed it aside. Well, then more and more guys started joining. And yes, there are questions in how much, you know, of your earnings you actually collect. But to me, this is the PGA admitting we've got a problem. Sometimes money trumps morals. And in Tiger Woods' case, women trumped morals. In Tiger Woods' case, a lot of things trumped morals. So there may be some people that choose not to listen to him.
It's
I don't
a great
know,
point.
But it would be very compelling. I think at this point, when you see the videos of the PGA guys flying commercial, trying to slam their carry-ons into the carry-on bin,
Cameron
and then
Smith
you look at the private jet
with the trophy.
Right? I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I think that was a great point just a second ago. Imagine, you know, the big issue with a lot of these guys going to the LIV Golf Tour, isn't it about morals? Isn't it about you're showing support to Saudi
right.
Arabia? You're taking Saudi Arabian money, and Tiger Woods is going to be the one that leads you back into the light.
And he might have changed his ways, but the point is that it's still Tiger Woods. It's still somebody that has messed up.
Even if he has changed his ways, you know, like, shut up, dude. Who are you to tell me what I should and shouldn't do? And I think there's a lot of guys out there on the tour that would like a little more security. And I feel like the PGA should be a little smarter about this than just saying like, oh, well, you're just going to be banned because you are losing high profile names. And what is this sport going to be, interestingly enough, without Tiger? I mean, Tiger still draws, but how much longer is he going to draw in the way that he had in the past?
This meeting, by the way, comes a week after legality got involved. A federal judge in San Jose denied a temporary restraining order to three players who had defected from PGA to live and wanted to compete in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Now, that is where I do side with the PGA. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. If you leave for live, and if you make that decision, if you choose to take on the Saudi money, you choose the private jets, that's great. But you can't all of a sudden want to compete in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Like, everybody in this situation, I talk a lot about accountability, has to take accountability for the choice that they've made, and that includes the live golf players who have decided to go to live.
I'm with you there. I guess it just doesn't feel like the PGA has the kind of say to say, no, you can't do this versus other sports. And I think that if you decide to individually ask one of the golf courses, hey, can I participate in this specific tournament? Then you should be allowed out there. I guess as far as, though, competing for the actual playoffs, you're right. If you are going to this thing,
yeah, just you can make compete. Your bed and lie in it.
Yeah, you could compete, but it would be like sort of like those Russians that were at the Olympics where they're like competing, but they're not competing for anybody except for themselves. You're not going to be competing with these guys for the FedEx Cup, but you can still golf with them. I feel like that would be a healthy compromise to make.
I mean, we'll see, but there is. I like that you use the word compromise because there is going to have to be one. There have been so many great golfers that have left for live
instead of hardlining. Yeah,
right. We'll see. We'll see what that compromise is, or if they can reach one. A nice little compromise reached among the Nets and Ben Simmons. I talked yesterday about a WNBA player who was taking time away from the game for mental health, and that's been a storyline, as it was with Ben Simmons. He and his former team have reached a settlement on the grievance Simmons filed to recoup a portion of the nearly $20 million withheld from him as a result of him not playing.
I hate this so much. I really do.
I didn't believe when I read it. I'm like, this can't be real.
But it is, though, right? I mean, these guys can do whatever they want. And it's funny that someone like Ben Simmons has the audacity to pull this off. And look, I understand that like mental health is an issue in our country, but I don't know. It just, to me, is so gross to see a guy complain about his mental health when he's making millions of dollars. And the average person who has mental health issues has to suck them up.
Correct.
Go to work every single day. And then you see all these people online say, like, you need to respect Ben Simmons' decision. I guess. I also kind of want to know a little more. I feel like just saying, oh, well, my mental health. What? Because you couldn't handle playing in Philadelphia? You couldn't handle all the razzing that you got for sucking in the playoffs? That's part of this, bro. That's this game.
You can respect mental health and still ask questions.
Can you, though?
Yes. Yes, you can.
I think you can.
Yes,
but
yes, you can. Yeah, here's the scenario. If you decide to be a pro athlete and you decide that you're going to have a public forum and you enjoy the fancy dinners and you enjoy your fancy condo in a gated neighborhood, people are going to ask why you're not playing. Now, I personally do not think people have the right to call you. I mean, I guess they have the right. I don't think people should call you soft, lame, weak, for taking medication, for needing time, whatever. But yes, people have the right to ask questions when an athlete is not playing.
Especially if they're earning that much money, because it just is something that I think pisses a lot of people off.
Sure.
Whether or not it's their business. And I think that's like another kind of layer that gets brought into the conversation. Hey, is it your business?
Yeah. No, it is.
But if you are someone who watches these games, you're a fan, maybe it is your business, as you pointed out. I guess the way I'm asking it, Vanessa, like I agree with you in that I think you should be able to ask questions about it. But am I actually allowed to ask questions about it online?
Oh, in today's
publicly?
Society, no.
That's what drives me crazy. It's like you could say, oh, my family, oh, mental health, and everyone's like, got to be like, oh, damn it. Well, he got us there. Now, on to the next subject. On to the next question. And I don't know. I mean, in certain situations, yeah, it's 100% legit to keep things to yourself, to your family. But when you're, like, missing a whole year and, to our knowledge, haven't suffered some sort of physical injury, and you are showing up to practice, but you're, like, you've got a cell phone in your shorts pocket, or you just don't seem engaged, it angers me that this resulted in a settlement. I feel like the guy purposefully went out of his way to not play. he doesn't seem to be in it anymore, into it anymore. And you know what? If he's not into it anymore, he can walk away. Just
your
like
key term
WNBA
there
player.
Was engaged. Like your key term. Did you just bring up Andrew Luck?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought
no.
you said. Okay, no. We have a headphone situation at our station where our headphones don't work in the seat I sit in, and I thought he brought in brought up Andrew Luck all, no, because it would have been it would have been a legit point. Like here's the thing. I hate when he did it. To Andrew Luck's credit, he walked away.
Totally.
I mean, and so if you're Ben Simmons, I think the word you used was engaged. He also just doesn't seem like he cares. Like, you never see Ben Simmons and think, that guy loves basketball.
No.
Just retire. And here's the thing. Right. I have a lot of empathy for people that have mental health issues, for people that have been through things. But the fact that he got a settlement is unreal to me.
I wish it was unreal to me. I really do. I feel like these guys can get away with murder, and they know
on
it.
On par.
Well, not actual murder. Except for the one guy, but you can't do anything if you're one of these organizations. And like all Adam Silver says is like, well, we'll try to prevent this a little bit more in the future. Oh, will you? How are you going to do that?
I think that if they want to treat mental health as an actual illness, which I think it is. Now there are some people that say that isn't. That's fine. If you want to treat it as an actual illness, then there has to be a guideline for how that's dealt with. There has to be a handbook of, a player is allowed to miss this many games because guess what? There's a handbook for paternity and maternity leave in sports. Why should there not be for mental illness?
This is a funny comment from Mega Blast on Twitch. Why retire when you can just get paid for not playing?
No, I've logically totally true.
You know, you put it like that. My mental health, Vanessa, and my family, not so hot right now. So
I don't think our salary is enough for you to really.
Just gonna go home. Okay.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. A lot of Astros fans not waking up happy this morning. How do you feel about Dusty Baker's lineup decisions this season? That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.